Well, please open your Bibles with me to the 51st Psalm and verse 10. Psalm 51 and verse 10. And as we settle down with the Word of God, what do our hopes and our desires look like for 2025? For many people, the beginning of a new year is an opportunity to address seriously a raft of change in their lives, from physical health to mental health, finances and career, hobbies and socializing in different ways, home improvements and improved administration, as well as lining up those books and various films that we hope to be able to read and watch. Oh yes, a new year is positively loaded with all sorts of hopes and desires and expectations. Indeed, some of the things that we've just shared with each other may apply to us this morning. But can I say that while some items on that list that we've just shared are generally helpful to us, if we claim to be part of God's community, we do need to be careful. For sure, looking after ourselves in helpful ways is to be encouraged. However, the well-intentioned lifestyle gurus who point us to that so-called sweet spot promote a worldview that is often at odds with what we know to be true. What do we mean by that? Well, many say that we are inherently good. It's the exact opposite of what we've been reading about in Psalm 51 and indeed those words that we've just sung together. Many say that we are inherently good and that in our own strength we can be the best version of ourselves, that we are to be who we want to be so long as we are not hurting anyone else. But for the right thinking humble Christian, we know something different, don't we? We know that we are fallen creatures in the sight of God. And until God the Savior graciously deals with this condition, this fallen state, you know, it doesn't matter how many restarts we go through. It doesn't matter how many lists we make just before the new year lands, or even on the 2nd of January. It doesn't matter how many extra miles we run. It doesn't matter how we improve our breathing when we are stressed. It doesn't matter how we spend less or save more. Not really. In terms of the present and thinking most definitely about the future, and when we talk about the future, we mean eternity. Until God the Savior goes to work and changes our minds, changes our hearts. Said another way, until the living Lord God graciously draws us to his side and in the power of his Holy Spirit goes to work on what we call our will. That is what we think, what we want. Said another way, until God the Savior restores to us by faith the joy of his salvation, contentment and peace and progression in life will always seem to be just out of reach to us. And as we get closer to our text for this morning, I take it that Psalm 51 and verse 10 is saying something similar to us. As we unpack together our text for this morning and with a new year in mind, we are going to see that King David longs for, indeed, we should be longing for, a heart for God and a consistent life for God. A heart for God and a consistent life for God. Now, for those who might not know the background to the 51st Psalm, One springtime, which is a time when kings go to war, King David of Israel did just that. King David sent out his military commander Joab and Israel's army, and Israel defeated the Ammonites and laid siege to Rabbah, a place to the east of the River Jordan. Meanwhile, late one afternoon and back in Israel, away from the front line and war, David sees from the roof of his house a beautiful woman called Bathsheba having a bath. And in a few words, 1 Samuel chapter 11 tells us that King David commits adultery with Bathsheba. Bathsheba falls pregnant by David. And because David cannot engineer a meeting between Bathsheba and her husband to cover up his sin, that's David's sin, and I'll let you join up the dots there. Because David cannot engineer that meeting to occur, David orders that Bathsheba's husband is sent back to the battle at Rabbah, and in particular, to where the fighting was hardest. And having sent Bathsheba's husband to the fiercest part of the battle, King David's evil plan succeeds. Bathsheba's husband is killed in battle. And whilst we may think, as we take in this detail, perhaps for the first time, whilst we may think, wow, that is some way to cover up an act of adultery, we need to be clear, listener, and say that it wasn't covered up at all, because the living Lord God saw everything, heard everything that David did. Just as the Lord sees and hears me every single day of my life, and the same is true for all you here this morning and you watching online, so too David's adultery with Bathsheba. So too David's plan to kill Bathsheba's husband, a man who was loyal to David and loyal to the army of Israel. And as 1 Samuel chapter 11 ends, not only does the Lord make it clear that David has displeased him, in the following chapter, the Lord uses a prophet called Nathan to show King David that God knows David's guilt. And having shared the background to Psalm 51, this ancient song that we've been thinking about this morning, I hope we can now see more clearly why David is filled with so much regret, so much sorrow and contrition as he composes this song. I hope we can understand a little bit better why David describes his sin with Bathsheba as if he had broken bones in his body. We see a reference to broken bones at verse 8 of this psalm. And as a little sidebar here, if we've ever experienced a broken bone, a large bone in our bodies being broken, if we've ever gone through that, we'll know a little bit about the pain that David feels as a consequence of what he's done wrong before the Lord. Thinking about a large broken bone, or broken bones plural, David is likening his sin and the reaction that he has sensed in his mind and in his heart, he's likening his sin to an astonishing pain and a heaviness that a large broken limb creates in the body. The experience is so bad, if you've ever gone through it, you want nobody to come anywhere near you, and you definitely don't want anybody to touch you, and especially not that bone that's been broken either. This is how bad David feels about what he's done before God, about the way he's impacted the life of Bathsheba, her family, her husband. Which is why at verse 10, our text for this morning, David wants wholeheartedly to avoid ever going through the same sort of thing again. It is why David says at the beginning of our text for this morning, can we see it there? Psalm 51, verse 10, first line, create in me a clean heart, O God. Juicing as much as we can from the first part of David's prayer, where David asks God to create in him or go to work in him, this ancient Hebrew verb conveys something personal and direct. The verb to create in this context speaks to us about a shaping or a fashioning, and it's a verb that's also found back in Genesis chapter 1, when the only living Lord God goes to work and creates out of nothing the heavens above and the earth below. Said another way, this verb to create, it's pointing us to something miraculous that the only living Lord God can do. And when we bring this learning into the first part of our text for this morning, we may say that King David is asking God to perform a special miracle in his life. Tightening our learning now and appreciating the ancient Hebrew just a little bit more, King David asks the triune God to perform a miracle of grace in his life. Because of his adultery with Bathsheba and the way he constructed her husband's death on the battlefield at Rabbah, King David is showing his listeners that at this point in his life, he will not be satisfied with a heart simply cleaned up by God. Just as there are times when we decide that shampooing a carpet just won't do on this occasion. Instead, it must be a new carpet because these old stains just will not entirely go away, no matter how hard we try. So the same is true when we consider what David is praying for in respect of his heart before the Lord. As King David laments over his sins, King David asks the God of the universe to perform a miracle in his life. King David asks God by faith, please give me a new heart. Or, if you like, a new attitude. A new attitude that is in line with your law, your truth, what you want from me. King David, if you like, is longing for that promise that God makes to his people through a prophet called Ezekiel, where Ezekiel writes on behalf of the Lord, and I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. And for that work to take place, what must the Lord do within the life of that repentant sinner, male or female? The Lord goes on, and I will remove a heart of stone. I'll prepare the way. I'll get rid of that heart of stone from your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. I will give you a heart. I will give you a mind, an attitude for me, declares the Lord. It is a miracle of grace. We cannot do this for ourselves. It is only by the Lord's gracious intervention in a sinner's life that we might know a heart, a mind, a will that is in line with him and what he wants. And this is what David is praying for. Please help me, Lord. Give me a new attitude that comes from you, that it might be for your glory. And as we pause to reflect on the first part of David's prayer to us here, what might we say as 2025 stretches out ahead of us? Or is it the case that our association with Welland Evangelical Church has tricked us into thinking that we're okay? And that everything that we are covering this morning doesn't really apply to us. You know, if this is us this morning, we do need to take care. And we need to take care in these things because there's not a single day in our lives when we don't displease the Lord in some way. It's tough to say it, but we must remind ourselves of these things. It's true for me. It's true for folk watching online. It's true for all of us here this morning. Not a single day. Okay, it's true to a point, if we stick with our context, we might not have done what David did. We might not have done what David did with Bathsheba. We might not have done what David did with Bathsheba's husband. and the way he constructed that man's passing on the battlefield. However, we need to be really careful about measuring the size of our sin. Any sin, whether it's for 1 second or many years, any sin, large or small, is worthy of God's eternal condemnation. You know, when we think back to our opening reading, we beheld with eyes of faith that heavenly courtroom, didn't we? And what were the seraphim doing in particular with those 6 wings? Covering their faces and covering their feet, they were showing the Lord reverence and honor. Why? Because he is thrice holy. And we do forget that God is indescribably holy. And we can become very casual and offhand about those so-called little sins. One sin is enough to condemn. It's true for me and all of us here today. And so it becomes important to accept that all of us fall short of God's glory and perfection every day. And while it's good that we do make it to the site here, well, in evangelical church, at least once a week, whilst that's good, these visits won't count as anything unless we take seriously what we're reading in God's word this morning. We have to take David's prayer seriously. Sure, there are lots of things we might be thinking about as 2025 starts to get some traction in our lives. It's a good thing to plan ahead for a new year. It's a wise thing to do. And there may be some things that we're already praying about in different ways. That too is very good. But has the holy perfection of God and our sinful estate before him, has it struck us in such a way to make us say in prayer with humbleness and with contrition, please, Almighty God, as this new year begins, fashion within me, create within me, do that miracle for me and give me a new heart. Do that miracle of grace in my life. Help me with my attitude for you and help me to live for you every single day that you give me. Like King David, believers today need to regularly ask the Lord to reveal to them once again the joy of God's salvation. Because unless God the Savior continues to operate on our hearts and show us that joy of his salvation that he freely gives, unless God continues to go to work on our hearts, the second part of King David's prayer that we're about to encounter, the second part will be an impossibility for us. Can we see it there? The bit where David says, after, please, Lord, clean within me, or rather give me a clean heart and also renew a right spirit within me. In the second half of David's prayer, King David asks God to give him a firm spirit for God. King David asks God to renew or repair his innermost parts so that they are in line with the word of God. King David asks God to conform his will, his emotions, to those things which honor God. David, in effect, says, help me, Lord, to live for you. And David prays in this way because David knows that a new heart for the Lord will only be able to resist the devil if that right spirit, that Holy Spirit, is resting with him, if there is room in his life for the goodness of the Holy Spirit to dwell and to go to work in him. Based on his actions towards Bathsheba and her husband, David now sees life before the Lord like never before. And he sees with greater clarity and by faith the fact that if he gives room to evil in his mind and evil in his heart, that better spirit for God, it gets pushed out. Therefore, Lord, please give me a new heart and help me to daily listen to you, that I might be set free from those sin-filled desires and weakening influences of the flesh and instead live for you. And as we climb for some height now and survey all that we've covered together. We ask again, is this something that Welland Evangelical Church longs for as this new year begins? You know, if we don't take this prayer with us throughout 2025, what hope do any of us have when it comes to growing up in Christ, growing up in his gospel, and ensuring that our membership at Welland Evangelical Church counts for something in this fallen world? Unless we ask the Lord to give us that new heart that is backed by a steadfast spirit for him, we will find over the course of this year that we get ourselves in trouble and will possibly take down others with us as well, sometimes knowingly and on other occasions unknowingly. And applying these thoughts now, and this is by no means easy, but applying this verse now to our lives, to me and to you watching online, if we don't ask God to give us a new heart and that right spirit for 2025, then we'll always go along with those unethical processes, ideas, or contracts at work. If we don't ask God to give us a new heart and that right spirit for 2025, then that person who we see on our commute or in the office will lead us into an act of adultery. If we don't ask God to give us a new heart and that right spirit for 2025, then we are going to end up doubling down on our bad attitude at home towards our parents, that bad attitude towards our teachers or our elders or deacons. If we don't ask God to give us a new heart and that right spirit for 2025, then pastor and church officers will let down the flock. If we don't ask God to give us a new heart and that right spirit for 2025, then our gambling addictions and our porn addictions are only going to become more extreme. And in some cases, they could land us in jail. If we don't ask God to give us a new heart and that right spirit for 2025, then we'll never escape the booze and the pills that we buy over the counter to numb ourselves against the painful realities and tragedies of our lives. If we don't ask God to give us a new heart and that right spirit for 2025, then we won't take our church membership seriously. If we don't ask God to give us a new heart and that right spirit for 2025, then we will continue to use sexually provocative profile pictures on social media and elsewhere. And we will continue to show too little top and too much leg, causing many around us to stumble in ways that would shock and sicken if we knew just a half of it in the man's mind. If we don't ask God to give us a new heart and that right spirit for 2025, then we'll never get our short temper under control, and we will forever view the body of Christ and the wider world with deep and crippling suspicion. If we don't ask God to give us a new heart and that right spirit for 2025, then we will go to our graves full of boasting and pride. If we don't ask God to give us a new heart and that right spirit for 2025, then we will struggle to speak in a sensible and edifying way that builds up the body. Instead, what we'll find is that we tear down the body by what we say, by what we do. Well, in Evangelical Church, on the threshold, the starting point of a new year, the point's been made by the word of God, hasn't it? No heart for God, no steadfast spirit for God means what? It means no progress for God in Fulling Mill Lane or anywhere in this village. If we're serious about the Lord and we value each other in Christ, and I'm sure we do, then brothers and sisters in the Lord, let all of us ask God to give us on a regular basis a new heart for him and that right spirit that honours him. A new heart and that right spirit, it not only gets us straight for 2025, these twin virtues get us ready for heaven as opposed to hell. And may the Lord add his own blessing. Amen.